If you get your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1. The Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 1. It's the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 21. I want to read the Christmas story. This is the condensed version. You can read the longer version in the Gospel of Luke. But then I'll focus in on what I want to talk to you about today. Matthew chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 18. And it says this: Now the birth of Jesus Christ happened this way. After his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, had in mind to divorce her privately. For you see, the consequences of being unfaithful would result in this divorce. They were engaged to be married, but now she's found to be with child. Verse 20, But while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for he who is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this occurred to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, saying, A virgin shall be with child, and will bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. Then Joseph, being awakened from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he remained with his wife, and did not know her until she had given birth to her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I want us to read verse 23 one more time, and it says this: A virgin shall be with child, and will bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. And I want to speak with you for a few short moments this morning on Emmanuel, God with us. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help me to speak your word to this, your people. For Lord, we are now in the Christmas season. Lord, everywhere we go, we see the light, we see the tinsel, we see the stores begging for our money. And Lord, the reality of the season is not about the man in red, but it's really about Jesus Christ himself. And so I ask that you would help me to relay the fact of Christmas and that we would understand it. And we pray that, Lord, you would be glorified through it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Emmanuel, God with us. As I stated in my prayer, there's no doubt that we are in the Christmas season. There is nowhere that we can go anymore. Our own town is set up with lights and season's greetings already. Amen. Main Street here in Center. We go to Walmart and they're wanting to get our money to buy the lights or to get the trees or what have you. It's the typical Christmas season. And there's nothing wrong with purchasing our gifts. There is nothing wrong with, per se, with setting up a tree. I mean, there will be some that would argue against your pastor and say you shouldn't do it. There is no doubt that the Christmas day, December the 25th, and the history of Christmas is filled with a lot of different things. There were pagan practices that were practiced on that day in the past. But we also know that Jesus was born. Now, we're not going to try to argue if December the 25th was the day or not. I'm going to be honest with you, more than likely it wasn't. But Jesus was born, and whether we celebrate it on December the 25th or August or September or whenever, we're to celebrate the birth of Jesus because Jesus was born that Christmas morn many, many years ago. And when we begin to contemplate, we begin to think about the Christmas story, we begin to watch our children practice their plays and even begin to act in their Christmas programs, we see the Christmas story. We see the reality of the fact that Joseph discovered that his soon-to-be wife was pregnant. And I don't know about you, but that would be heart-wrenching. That would be awful to know that you are engaged to your wife and to find out she's pregnant. You can only imagine Joseph's frustration when he found out Mary was pregnant. If you were Joseph, you would have wanted to react just like he did. He was ready to divorce her, but he, being a just man, meaning that he didn't want her to make a big public example, he was going to put her away or divorce her privately, just under the cover, no one knowing. But as he's contemplating, and I'm sure frustrated with what he knows, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream. And the angel of God says, that which is in her is of the Holy Spirit. There was no penetration. There was no sexual act. She's a virgin. But this virgin is pregnant, and a miracle has occurred in her body, and this miracle is of the Lord. And the angel reassures Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary, because that which is in her, that boy, I think that's very interesting to think, that this child that is within her womb has only recently been conceived. And the Bible already says his gender, doesn't it? That's despite what the modern medical field would say when they start to consider the things of abortion, isn't it? He is called a he, a him, a boy in the womb, and the gender is stated since the conception. And it says, he who is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Can you say praise the Lord to that? For he will save his people from their sins. The Hebrew rendering would be Yeshua. Another rendering would be Joshua. That name means the Savior. And his name would represent what he came to do. That little, whatever it is in the womb at this point, is the Savior of the whole world. And Joseph is now reassured that that which is within his soon-to-be wife is of God. And so the scripture says in verse 22, it was all to be done to fulfill a prophetic scripture that was given in the book of Isaiah. You can look at it later in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. The prophet Isaiah had prophesied hundreds of years before this time that a virgin would be with child and would bear a son, and that they would call his name Emmanuel. And Matthew, the writer of the gospel, would go on to give the interpretation of what that name Emmanuel means. Emmanuel means God with us. The prophet had declared hundreds of years before that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and that his name would be called Emmanuel, which by interpretation would be God with us. Now here we have two names, don't we? The angel says, you shall call him and name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. But the prophet said they would name him Emmanuel, which by interpretation would be God with us. And I'm here to tell you that both names applied to Jesus. One was his actual name. You can go through history to try to... There's been many that have tried to disprove the existence of Jesus. And in their quest to disprove the existence of Jesus, become convinced believers of Jesus. Because there's more fact and more history to Jesus than any other figure on the face of the earth. But his name was his name Jesus. He would be the Savior. He would save people from their sins. But the name Emmanuel, which we want to talk about today, has a meaning as to who he was, God with us. You see, the Christmas story and the celebration of Christmas, we see the little baby in the manger, don't we? That little baby, which is God in the flesh. And sometimes we can look at Christmas and we'll forget immediately about the baby, forgetting that that baby didn't just stay a baby. That little baby grew up, didn't he? And the reason why he was born that day was not for us to celebrate his infanthood, but it was ultimately to celebrate why he had come. And he came because he was to be the Savior of all people. And so as we consider the fact of Christmas, I don't want you to ever forget that the reality of Christmas is about the Savior of the world. It's about Jesus coming to save people from their sins. It's not just the innocence of the manger scene, but the reality of what he came to do, that is to save you and me. Jesus is the Savior of the world, but it could not have been done but that God would fulfill a plan. God in the flesh, God with us. And so why did Jesus come to begin with? And why do we even look at him being born here? Why are we looking at the name Emmanuel, God with us? It is because man needed a Savior. There was no other way for man to be saved but that God would make a plan to fulfill a way for man to be saved completely and wholly. And when I say holy, I'm not talking about H-O-L-Y. Yes, he wants us to be holy individuals, but he wanted to save us wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely. Jesus came to save you completely. Jesus came to redeem us in a way that we can stand before God righteous and holy without fear of rejection. And the only way that that could be accomplished was through God becoming a man. And this perfect man living a perfect life, fulfilling all of the demands of God perfectly. And in our place, die and shed his holy blood to wipe away all of our sin so that we could stand before God righteous and whole because of an act that Jesus did on the cross, not because of what we could ever do, because everything that we could do would always be left without enough. We could fast until we're nothing but skin and bones to try to say, God, I love you that much. I'm going to fast until there's nothing left. And God isn't going to be pleased with that. Because it's not enough. It doesn't meet God's requirements. The Bible says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. That means that you and I, on our best day, on our best volition, where we've not made any mistakes, even then, it's not enough to please God. God expects perfection. And as we all know, none of us are perfect. And so because none of us are perfect, and all we have to give to God is imperfection, that means God can accept it. But God had a plan. The Bible says that Jesus, hear me, was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God had a plan since before the creation itself on how to redeem man, to save man. And it would ultimately come through he himself becoming a man and dying on the cross in our place. But why is that necessary? I mean, Pastor, you're just saying a bunch of words. Why is that necessary? Well, it really boils down to the very beginning when man disobeyed God. Adam and Eve were told to keep the garden, to tend to the garden, to have dominion over all of the earth and the animal, everything. But in their dominion, he also told them, you can eat of every tree, but not of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the moment that you do, you will die. Through a series of events, without going into detail, Eve was eventually deceived by a beguiling, deceptive serpent, and she was convinced to eat the forbidden fruit. And when she partook of that forbidden fruit, death, now listen to me carefully, death would come into the human race. There are some people in this world that would say, I'm no sinner. There are some people that say, man, there can be the potential of living without sin. But then I would counter and say, if that's true, then why will everyone die? You know, it actually boggles the minds of the medical field how that our bodies break down and get old and get sick. Your body was created to live, but why does it die? Why does it fall apart the way it does? And if you understand it correctly, it's because not only did death come upon the human race, not only will we die a physical death, death is in us. We have become sinners. You're not a sinner because of the act of sin that you have done or may have done or I have done. We're not sinners because we sin. I want you to understand this. You're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're already a sinner. You see, man originally was created perfect, but when sin came into the human race, it affected everyone from Adam and Eve until now. The moment we were born in sin. Later on, we're going to be dedicating little Amaziah here. And we look at the innocence of a little baby, don't we? But it has nothing, it's not his fault that there's sin already in him. Look at his innocence. But it's the sin that is in man that will begin to cause us to grow sick, begin to cause us to get old, will begin to cause us to die. So then what's the solution? God would be born as a little baby. God became a man. And he was born, and he lived the life that every one of us would and should live, but can't. And he lived it perfectly. You see, Jesus was born without sin. Now, what are you saying, Pastor? Let me bring you back to Joseph and his frustration. He finds out Mary is pregnant. But how could she be pregnant, but that there had to be relations beforehand to get pregnant? You all understand what I'm saying here. But here she is pregnant, and she's telling Joseph, I've never been with a man. And so I'm sure it's boggling his mind, and he's wondering, you're lying to me. It's impossible that you could be pregnant, but that there was this act beforehand. But then God would intervene, and the angel would say, that which is in her was of the Holy Spirit. It was a miraculous birth. And that child that was in her womb was not the result of relations between Joseph and Mary, or Mary and anybody else. It was a miraculous birth. That baby was not born by the seed of man. Do you all follow me? Just hear me now. He was not born by the seed of man. He was born by the seed of the woman, which was a prophecy since Genesis chapter 3. She would conceive without that act, so that Jesus would be born of the Virgin Mary. And because she was born of the Virgin Mary, that means that he was born without sin. And because he was born without sin, the life that he lived would be a perfect life. And I don't mean to overwhelm you with this, but I'm talking about God with us. That physical body that housed God himself was a perfect body. And he would live a perfect human life in our place. Because we can't live a perfect life, he would do it in our stead. And he would fulfill all of God's righteousness. All that God would demand of you and me, he would fulfill completely. And he would do it in our place and offer his body as a sacrifice for our sins. You see, he came to save us completely. He doesn't just want to save you from your sin and then you have to strive to be sinless from now on. He came to deliver you from sin so that you can live above the power of sin. And so when it talks about Emmanuel, God with us, we begin to understand that God had thought of a plan to redeem you and me in a perfect way, and it would be through the birth of Jesus Christ, God himself. Now, some of you may be saying, well, what do you mean, and how could it be? Are you saying that Jesus is God? Yes, I am. And he did it for you and me because he loves you. In the beginning, before man fell and before sin came into the human race, there was communion between man and God, but sin separates man from God. And so God would get rid of sin through his own Son, so that now you and me, man and God, could have fellowship with each other again through his Son, Jesus Christ. Emmanuel. Amen? God with us. Now, I want you to turn real fast just to one portion of Scripture, and then I want you to just see this really fast. Acts chapter 20. The book of Acts is right after the Gospel of John. In Acts chapter 20, there's an interesting statement that Paul makes, and with this we'll close. I'm just bringing out that Jesus is God with us. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it says this. This is Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders. He says, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to the entire flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer." And he says, "To shepherd the church of God." I want you to understand that you as a child of God are his church. Amen? But he says, "To shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." Jesus, being God in the flesh, purchased you and me with his own blood. And he did that so that we can have a relationship with God Almighty. And when we think about the Christmas story and you think about the little baby Jesus in the manger, I want you to begin looking at that little baby in a different way maybe than you have before. And begin to think that God loved you so much that he became a man and was born in a manger. You see, he understands what children go through, doesn't he? He understands what young adults go through. He understands what adults go through because he went through it all. But he did it perfectly for you and me. Amen? The story of Christmas is about the Savior. And it's about the love of God being displayed. You see, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life." And that's what Christmas is about. When we give our gifts, and we give them to our children and our friends, our family, loved ones, those that are in need. When you give that gift, and your giving is a symbol of how God gave the greatest gift. And I'll ask you a quick question. Have you received that gift that God has given? Have you received Jesus Christ, the greatest gift given? If you have, you know that you are saved and you know where you're going when you die. But if you have not received that gift, that means you've rejected it. And that means that your eternity is a different picture than those that are saved. But let me tell you this, that God is offering that gift even now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today. We don't need to wait till next year or next month or when you're finally living right. We've got to humble ourselves and say, "God, here I am. I receive the gift of salvation right now by faith." And so if you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today is the day that you can open up your heart's door and receive him. Amen? And so I want to open the altar today. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to do a quick altar call, and then we will move forward with the baby dedication.